Schoolmaster in England tells a charming little story. At Christmas time, she supervised the construction of a manger. This obviously wasn't in recent times. A construction of a manger scene in the corner of the classroom. The children participated happily in the project. They enjoyed casting the characters for the drama depicting the nativity. The teacher noticed one boy in particular that was enamored by it all and was forever going back and forth to the scene. At last she asked him, "Is there anything bothering you?" He said, "Oh, no." She said, "Do you have any questions you would like to ask?" And he said, "Yes. What I'd like to know is, where does God fit in?" The question today, when it comes to all the Christmas celebration, is where does God fit in? Of course, in the manger scene, he certainly did. But in the time that we're going to look at here today in Israel, God was not fitting in to the official Judaism of that day. Oh, was it dark in Israel? Very little spiritual light was shining through. 400 years it had been silent since the prophet Malachi. The silence really was spiritually deafening for the people. They were depending upon rituals. They were depending upon all the tradition and all of the writings of their fathers, but had lost the heart of their God. But not everyone. In the midst of that darkness, there were a number of folks, part of the remnant, who were unashamed of the truth about the coming Messiah. These people were a glimmer of light in a very dark time. And it really is encouraging as we think of a lot of the darkness around us, though we have far more light and far more of what God is doing, especially around the world. But still, sometimes we see that. And it is very encouraging to see the wonderful testimony of these that were unashamed of the truth. So I want to look at two servants here today that were used of God, the proclamation of Christmas by God's servants, the Christ of Christmas. Last year, we looked at several of the characters of Luke chapter 2 from the theme, In Step with Jesus. We've been looking at the Christmas story this year, especially in this quarter of the year where we're focusing on unashamed evangelism, on the bold proclamation of these very same people when it came to the truth of who Christ was. It's very difficult for us to put ourselves in their situation and understand how hard it must have been for them to be so outspoken in a day that unbelief had gripped the hearts of the Israelites. But God knew, and God highlights these folks, and so I'd like to look at two of them that are very strategic here for the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, if you would turn with me. We've already looked at the angels. We've already looked at Mary. We've already looked at Joseph. And now we want to look at two more very blessed people, Simeon and Anna. And in their lives, God was not missing. He was very real. They were spiritually walking in a genuine relationship with God. And because of that, they had one of the great privileges known throughout all of human history. So first of all, today I want to look at the declaration of Simeon. The declaration of Simeon. And let's look first of all at the setting here for this declaration. Let's read beginning in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The setting here is that of Joseph and Mary fulfilling their obligation of the law. And we see that they followed the law specifically, the circumcision, and then the purification for Mary, and then the dedication of the firstborn son. And so all of these are mentioned, which happened at two different times here. But we are coming to the final time in which Mary came for the cleansing, and you have the dedication of the firstborn son with the sacrifice at this time. And it's very interesting to see how clearly the Word of God states this here. Let me just say this, folks. To God, His Word is important. Okay. And so we have here Joseph, especially, leading out in his family, but Joseph and Mary being extremely careful under very unique circumstances to follow the law. Now, a couple of things that was important in this before I look here specifically at what Joseph did. First of all, the sacrifice was a very clear picture that the judgment of sin would be upon any normal human being. And so from the very beginning, a sacrifice had to be made. And so from the beginning of a person's life on with these different ceremonies, we would be having a clear need for the shed blood. Now, this little baby was not a sinner, was not born in sin, but the beautiful picture is he would be the one that would be the sacrifice. So when that sacrifice was made, which is something that we don't really understand the nature of it, to see even birds killed is something that we would sort of withdraw from, except you farmers that take care of chickens, you know, things like that. But most of us, it's not a picture that we would want to see, especially with the lambs and the bullocks and all. It was a very gory and very traumatic situation, looking at these animals in the throes of death and the blood spurting out. You say, you know, why mention that? Well, folks, Jesus Christ came to die. And so right from the beginning, in obedience to the law, though he did not need the sacrifice, this was the clear picture that he was going to be the sacrifice for those that obviously the whole world that needed it. Secondly, he is the firstborn. You remember the plague, the 10th plague, where the firstborn were all killed except for those of Israel, where they had placed the blood above the doorways. And then God had made it very clear that the firstborn were to be dedicated to the Lord, and they were his. And then he transfers that to the fact of the Levitical tribe being the ones that would be those that would be set apart on behalf of the firstborn. But you still have this ceremony. And so it shows here that certainly, yes, for Mary, Jesus was his firstborn. Was her firstborn, but what does Joseph clearly claim then? Jesus as his firstborn. He adopts him officially, which puts upon Jesus the right to the throne of Solomon. And we also know that the visit of the Magi could not have already happened, for they would not have been 40 days later into the temple openly showing themselves at this point. And as we know, probably the Magi came months, if not a couple of years later. I know that messes up your manger scene. I apologize for that. But it is wonderful to realize that when that host of angels broke forth in the heavenlies, could not contain themselves, crying out, "Glory to God in the highest," I personally believe that was the great glorious light, the star, that the wise men saw at that time over in Babylon. I can't say that for sure, but I believe that was the great light, the light of heaven that shone through, and then they began their journey. So just some interesting things. But what really makes this important is for Simeon to be able to have fulfilled prophecy in him having the privilege of being there at this time, Joseph had to be obedient to the Word of God. Galatians 4:4 says, "And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." Jesus Christ kept all aspects of the law. His life is in perfect conformity to the Old Testament. And Joseph, his godly adopted father, also was that kind of a man. And folks, to be at the right place at the right time in our lives so that God can be honored, so that God can work, I tell you, we have to have a heart for the Word of God. We've got to be willing to say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." What a important moment this was, and it all came about through Joseph's understanding of truth. You know, so many Christians could have such blessing, could be right where God wants them to be at the right time and enjoy unusual divine working if they would just obey. You know, so many doctors will tell you that the big problem that they have in working with folks is not that many times they don't have the solution, it's that people won't follow what they tell them to do to have the solution. And I don't remember the exact statistic, I've seen it before, but a few years ago, there was a huge percentage of people that didn't have to have the major problems that they have because they wouldn't follow what the doctor has talked about as certain medicines, the diet that they had, all kinds of issues. They just were not willing to listen and obey. You know, it's in our nature to do our own thing, isn't it? And unfortunately, when it comes to this matter of really trusting the Lord, it's in our nature to do our own thing. But folks, that's not the pathway of blessing. There is no greater thing in life than to know you're in the will of God and you can see the continued divine appointments as God works in your life step by step as we yield to Him. It's a wonderful thing. And then just the dedication here of according to the law, but the dedication of Jesus. Through the little that they had heard, and as I am sure scriptures had become more real to them, and Mary would again here in just a few moments understand more, and so would Joseph from Simeon's prophecy, they realized that the dedication of Jesus had more meaning than normal. And they didn't understand it all, I'm sure, but they were willing for God to do whatever he had to do, for this was the promised Messiah, Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God. That's what the angels had said. And let me just make an application here. You know, on this Christmas time, as we think of family and all of that, God blessed Joseph not just with Jesus, but with James and with Jude, two men that became mighty men of God. James led the church there at Jerusalem through very difficult days. And I believe that very clearly, Joseph was a man out of the picture, a humble man. He realized his children were given to him, not for his own purpose, but for the mighty purpose that God had for them. I've mentioned this before, but I often think about the Scudder family that was in India, missionaries. And 10 of their children, after they dedicated them to the Lord, grew to adult life. One died while preparing for Christian ministry, and 9 became foreign missionaries. All 9 were powerful servants of the Lord. Folks, so much of the key to seeing God work in our children is complete trust in the Lord and a full dedication of them to allow God to do what he wants to do in their lives. I just tuck that in because we see that here in this beautiful story of the perfect timing for Simeon to be there in the temple. I want to take just a moment to look at Simeon, the qualification for Simeon to be the one to give the declaration. Let's go now back to our text, if you would, verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him in the child, brought him in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law," there's that emphasis again, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. Now, the whole thesis of this message this morning is, what does it take to become unashamed of Christ? What does it take in a dark day to just be overwhelmed by the truth of what we have? Folks, we are deeply moved by what Jesus has done for us. But it doesn't often translate for American believers into bold proclamation of the truth as it ought to. And we see here Simeon, who was a man who had walked by faith for many years. He had believed God, and so when the time came that he needed to be public, he was willing to be public. He was just. He was one of the believing remnant. He was one of the few, even in the midst of this dark day, that was willing to be mocked, willing to be misunderstood, because he rejected traditional Judaism. He rejected the whole religious perspective that had been a mixture of the ancient Babylonian and other religions. He was a man that had a full and complete, simple understanding of the Old Testament. He was a man who had been saved through his knowledge of the coming Messiah that would shed the blood for him. He also was a man that was devout. He was living a life of faith. By the way, doesn't this remind you of Elizabeth and Zechariah, Luke chapter 1? These were the same terms used for these people. And folks, this is what ought to be exactly in our lives. Obviously saved, but devout. He was living a life of serious faith. In other words, his life was not marked by his own agenda. This was a man who loved God, who understood the need of the day, a man who was willing to pray, a man who was given to the proclamation of the truth. And we have no idea what he went through to do that, but he was affecting others. There were a number of people in Jerusalem that were waiting for the Messiah. Of course, out of that were Zebedee and his wife and the sons of Zebedee, John, now later John and James. You had, of course, Elizabeth and Zechariah. You had many at that time, and I wonder how much impact this man Simeon had upon them. He was a simple man. He was not a priest. He was a layman. He might have been like Anna in that he had a prophetic gifting. We don't know. It doesn't say that directly about him. He was just simply a man that loves the Lord. You know, to me, that's really encouraging. God did not come to the high priest. He did not come to the high rulers. He did not come to the Sanhedrin. These were unbelievers. He did not come to those with great influence. He came to this simple man who had trusted God, who was living a life of faith, and this man had the greatest privilege in the world. The shepherds were the first evangelists, but Simeon was the first one under the prophetic working of God to declare who Jesus Christ was. Right in the temple where the picture of the sacrifice of Christ was made all of the time. And on that very Mount Moriah, where on the far peak, Calvary, Jesus would die a few years later. What a privilege. I'm telling you, folks, it is thrilling to be in the will of God because you are trusting him and living a life of faith and to be able to be used of God in a way that is clearly supernatural. And so he was looking for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. He was looking for this that God had promised in the Old Testament. And it is interesting, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, I realize we're in the Old Testament era here, but the Holy Ghost came upon those who wanted to be used, the priests, the kings, and other people. And the Spirit of God was upon him just like he is in us and upon us here in our day. And all of us have the same Spirit. It's not something unusual, and we can understand the truth, and God will direct us. It's a wonderful thing to know that. And so God revealed this to him. You know, folks, we live in a very noisy day. A very noisy day. Yes, we could think of being in a house trying to listen to somebody that's quietly talking to us and say, turn down everything. But I'm not talking about that. We live in a noisy soul day. distractions everywhere, very earthy in our lifestyle. Now, I'm not even talking about people living worldly and according to fleshly life. I'm talking about just normal, noisy life, which brings anxiety and pressures and all kinds of things at us, troubling emotions. The Spirit of God indwells us if we're a Christian, and He will speak to us in a still, small voice. We have the book He wrote. We have the illumination of that book in our soul. And we have the privilege of the Spirit of God within the parameters of the Word actually individually speaking to us and giving us direction. That's an amazing thing. And folks, again, for Simeon to be at the right place at the right time, and for all of this to work, you had to have obedient believers, you had to have faithful believers, and you had to have a believer that was very sensitive in his relationship to the Lord. We have talked about this for several years, but folks, you've got to have a major time every day where you quiet your soul. You've got to make the decision to do it. If you say you're too busy to do it, you're too busy. Priorities must be rearranged. Life without hearing the voice of God is not life. You know, we call out to God to help us when we get in trouble, but God wants to commune with us friend to friend. For us to know His voice and to be able to walk with Him and to have His strength in our soul, to have confidence 24/7 of His working in our life, to be encouraged by the Spirit of God. And folks, I want to encourage you in a very busy time of the year, quiet your soul before God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we'd all just spend time this coming week right in the midst of everything and listen to our God? He's ready to work. If we'll let Him work. This man listened. He listened to the Lord. And he listened and knew the promise, verse 26, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God had made this very clear to him, and he knew he would see the Messiah. What a tremendous thing. I'm telling you, folks, God will give you a vision for your life according to the Word of God. He will give you a sense of what He wants you to do. You will begin to get a purpose, and you'll get a purpose for your children. That's a wonderful thing. And I want to encourage you to let God speak to you, because life then becomes a constant anticipation of what God has said He would do. And that's walking by faith. And so the Lord clearly did lead him, and it was just a tremendous opportunity that he had to be there right at that time. And so God will let us know Him. There's no doubt about it. And then let's look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said. God allowed him to see the fulfillment of his word, and God allowed him to have that evidence very clearly. Folks, when we believe God, when we trust Him, even though it seems like it's only sight, when we just trust God's word for what it is, I promise you, if you'll continue to endure patiently, you will have experience. Christians that have deep confidence are Christians that have chosen to believe God, have chosen to trust His word, who have not let circumstances throw them. They have done right, and their heart is wed to the Lord. And they follow God's truth here. They follow God's truth there. They believe what God has put on their heart will happen. And then you begin to see God answer prayer. God began to do work. And God begins to build in you an increasing confidence in your Christian life. It's no longer faith without sight. It's faith because of sight. Isn't that exciting? Now, hopefully, I can't talk you out of your salvation. Right? You know you're saved. How many just know you're saved? You're just excited about it. All right. Don't dare try to talk me out of it, Pastor. Why? Because you got evidence, don't you? You have confidence. You've seen God change your life. You've seen God do exactly what he said. It is glorious to be a Christian. Many of you have taken steps of faith. You've seen God work, and you've seen God deliver. It's a wonderful thing. Confidence. Well, God gave Simeon an opportunity to hold Jesus Christ. He saw him. He saw him. And for whatever time he lived after this, he had done it by faith before, but now, this is the Messiah. I can only imagine the witness of Simeon. Now, here's the point, folks. We're talking about being unashamed of Jesus. How much do you know him? How much evidence do you have? You know, if you're living in defeat, it doesn't work real well. How can you talk about the one who delivers when he's not delivering you? Often I've mentioned this, but it's so true. But when God's answering prayer and you're meeting with him and you hear his still small voice and you see even in the littlest ways for God to provide and he comforts your soul and gives you the fruit of the Spirit and the Word of God becomes real and you take those steps based upon truth, step by step by step, confidence begins to build. And I tell you, when you have confidence about something, you want to tell somebody else. You know, God delivered me. I want him to deliver you. And did you know that when you have that kind of heart, people listen to you? When it isn't like you're just going through a sales pitch, it isn't something that you're just supposed to do. By the way, let's evangelize if that's the only motive we have, because the truth needs to get out. But it's really glorious when you have in your heart a passion. You've got to hear what I've said. I have met him. I know he's true. I'm telling you, when the gospel is given with spiritual confidence, you'd be amazed how many people seriously listen. And that's what happened here with Simeon. And then the content of his declaration was tremendous, starting with verse 29. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. What a tremendous declaration he makes. I have seen thy salvation. This is the one that you have prepared. This is the Old Testament Messiah. And you've prepared it, by the way, not just for the Jewish people, for all people. Isn't it interesting? Right from Abraham on, the continued, repeated, all people. Aren't you thankful? I won't ask how many of you are Jewish here. There might be a few. But for the most of us, we're just good old Gentiles, aren't we? Aren't you glad it's for all people? All nations, all kindreds, all languages. Yes, his salvation. A light to lighten the Gentiles, praise the Lord, and the glory of thy people, Israel. That's a pretty clear declaration. This is the one that the whole Old Testament has been talking about. And I'll tell you what, Joseph and Mary were pretty amazed at what he was saying. They understood it. His name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from his sins. Emmanuel being God with us. But you know how hard it is to get all of those things in your head. But here is this man they knew God. And now they realize this little baby is salvation. This little baby is the one that is going to redeem people from all nations, the Gentiles and Jews alike. What a blessed, blessed truth. Then, verse 34, the blessing of dedication. This is not a priest, but this is more important than a priest. This is God's genuine believer. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own heart, own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. An entire message could be preached on that blessing. You say, wow, that doesn't sound much like a blessing. It really was a blessing to Mary. As she stood at the foot of the cross and she stayed there until John took her away, a sword will pierce her heart. Do you not think that every word of this blessing went through that dear mother's heart? No, this is why he came. This is all about salvation. This is all about a light to the Gentiles and to the Jews. This is all about what the Old Testament is talking about. By this time, as hard as it was, she stood there, and it went deep within her soul that this child is going to be the key of history, and your own heart's going to be pierced, mother. But God is going to deal with the entire human race through this child. Folks, for all of us, that's a blessing. You know, let me just make one little application here. We talk about dedicating our children. Do we really? Are you willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes for them to be a blessing to as many as possible, do it. Take them anywhere. Let them go through anything. I want them to be a servant of yours. I want there to be a host in heaven because of them. You gave your son to die. I give my children to live to die for you. I don't know how many American parents fully pray that prayer. I'll guarantee you that God wants to take our children and do mightier things than we can even understand because of Christ. And if we really had a blessing given to our children, it would be this child is going to go through a lot so I can prepare them to be a mighty servant of God so they can glorify me and see many people reached and my cause go forward. If you're having a good family time, I encourage you, parent, to ask yourself, do you have that kind of heart for your child? Well, then we have the evangelization of Anna. And I'm not going to go into the whole picture here now because of time here this morning. We may touch on this. But you have Simeon and you have Anna who were just filled with the desire to be unashamed of the truth about the Messiah. Let me just read this. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, by the way, there were many that were looking for redemption. So the remnant wasn't just these few. These had great impact. But all I want to say is, why was she so involved in evangelization? Well, she was constantly serving and she was constantly praying, and God already owned her and was able to use her. And she was immediately discerning. She saw this was the Messiah and she immediately proclaimed the truth. Now, folks, let me just end with this. We do not know, because we fast forward to when Jesus was 12, after he goes from the Matthew account down to Egypt and back. And then we fast forward to 12, and then we go to 30 years of age. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to find out through the testimony of Elizabeth, Zechariah, Simeon, Anna, and others. I think many came to faith at this time. God's not willing that any should perish. And in a dark day, God was there. God uses people, though. Oh, he works. He did some dramatic things. But for people to be reached, we have got to be his servants. The heart of Joseph to be obedient. The faith of a Simeon. And the service and prayer of an Anna caused many people to hear the truth. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here this morning, Simeon was unashamed. Anna was unashamed because they knew their God and they knew the truth. This has really been the thesis of these last few weeks as we've looked at Unashamed of Christ and Christmas. The issue is, how much do we know him? How real is he to us? How much do we meditate on him? How much are we surrendered to him? How much do we love his word? You see, all of these things translate themselves into a deep burden to tell what we know is true. If we just, in a surface way, live our Christianity, we will not have the courage. In America, less than 5% of born-again believers ever tell anybody about their faith. Folks, if even half of born-again believers in America would talk about Jesus, this country would be shaken. It's not a certain political party, folks. It's not even the awful problems within our educational and media systems. It is the fact that God's people have not so walked with God that they cannot help but testify of these things that they have seen and heard. Unashamed of Christ. He is the answer. How many here this morning would say, you know, Pastor, God's dealt into my heart about this. Maybe it is the matter of soul walking with him, quieting my soul, seeing God work, seeing evidence in my heart, having the heart that Joseph had to obey, Simeon devout, walking by faith, Anna constantly serving and spending time in prayer. This was the key to the outspoken testimony of these believers. Are we willing to dedicate ourselves and our children to the Lord? We've just touched on these things here this morning, but you know, that's what Christmas is all about. We can get so filled with the joy of the season, and we should, but folks, there is a message to give. The angels couldn't contain themselves. They had to glorify God. Simeon and Anna could not contain themselves. The shepherds could not contain themselves. And oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we would burst forth and not be able to contain ourselves? And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to have that kind of walk with God where talking to people about Christ is not a duty. It is just what I have to do. And I realize that I get caught up with distractions. Would you pray for me that I will have more and more victory in my walk with God, that this will be real? With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up? God has touched your heart that way. God bless you. My, God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. You're here today and you say, Pastor, you know, I think I need the matter of knowing about salvation. Friends, salvation is in Christ. That's why he came. It's his death, burial, and resurrection that will save you. He took your place on the cross, and if you'll trust him today, the Word of God says he will save you. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, here at this Christmas time, I don't have the joy of Christmas like I should because I'm not certain. If I were to die, I'd be in heaven. And I just sense I need to face this today. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up if God's worked in your heart that way? I am not certain, if I were to die, that I am on my way to heaven. I just need to get this settled. I'm burdened about it. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Oh, we'd love to pray for you here this morning. What better time than Christmas? Now, Lord, I pray you'll work in hearts. Thank you for what you've been doing in our lives. We marvel in these last few weeks what you've done. But, Lord, there's so much more. And every one of us, Lord, all of us, we just get caught. And Lord, I pray that just the simple testimony of a Simeon, a Joseph, a Mary, an Anna will help us to realize how real this is and how it is something that ought to just be bubbling out of our life. Lord, would you work in our lives about that extended time with you, and truly letting you work. Lord, there's no substitute for it. And would you give us a real heart for you and a compassion for others? Be with these that raise a hand. I pray you'll give them real victory now in Jesus' name. Amen.